Fotja, kijk, Tinja, Kochi en DL, de Beatlem, Misha, Brennan, O'Daniel, Sharp, I Highland Radio. Welcome everyone to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Where to start? It has to be Kuharjahas, Lemio, Champagne, Naharan.
Oh, the green and red mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall, majestic hills. Where the ocean kisses Ireland, and the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me, to stay forevermore, forevermore.
Yes, that's always been getting a few blasts today. I'd say actually the Saw Doctors are delighted. The downloads have probably gone through the roof. What a day at Crow Park yesterday. Absolutely amazing. We're going to go through it all now shortly. Of course, I want to thank Joe Dex here as producing the show. Ivan Borden for the Power Hour Plus and Donal Kavanagh for the news here. Shortly, we're going to hear from Donegal legend Patrick McBertie and sports editor with the Sun, Jason Byrne, on that epic final. Mayo finally getting their hands on Sam. Then after that, we're going to turn our attention to the league final where Termon are champs, beating Glenfinnan. Maureen O'Donnell's going to come on to give us the lowdown on all that. Just a word from the hurling scene. Bert went gold crazy with the Junions at the weekend, 6:15 to 2:16. We're going to do a feature on hurling next week, but for now it's all about the Sam, and two men are coming on the show to break down the game and the epic scenes yesterday. Jason Byrne and Patrick McBertie is there, lads.
Well, DB,
you doing all right?
Not a bother. How's things?
Good, Jay. Good to see you. Hey, Patrick, you coming through there?
I think so. Do you hear me,
Bryn? That's you now, Patrick. That's it. 100%, lad. Thanks for joining us, my man.
How's my neighbour, Jason?
That's
I'm
right.
Good,
neighbor,
I'm
neighborly
good.
Love, boy. You couldn't beat it.
Neighborly love.
Hey, lads, I tell you what, I've seen some scenes in my time, but that was unbelievable yesterday. Patrick, you know, lots we made of 75 years, but it's more about the 11 attempts, 11 finals, a couple of draws in there, obviously 13 games in total, having a lash at this. So it felt at times, Patrick, we were never going to see this. So to see it unfold yesterday, what was your take on it? It was an unbelievable scene and totally deserved.
Yeah, Bryn, listen, totally deserved. You know, bar the first 10-15 minutes, maybe a small wee passage in the second half, Mayo were deserving winners. You know, watching the scenes, you know, after the final whistle, it would put a lump in your throat. You know, I know a few of the players there personally that have probably didn't get on yesterday, but, you know, nobody in Ireland, bar a few people probably, and Kerry, Galway and Roscommon would begrudge Mayo that win yesterday. That was an unbelievable occasion. And you see some of the scenes there now, but in Castlebar tonight, you know, it's 75 years, you say, Bryn. It's a lifetime, and, you know, 11 finals where they've come up the road on big days, and they've lost big games in the semi-finals as well. So, you know, congrats to everyone in Mayo. It's been a long time coming, and I'm pretty sure there'll be massive celebrations over the next few weeks.
Yeah, certainly. And there's a few wee similarities in there too, Patrick. I'll come back to you on that one, on you and Kobe. I'm thinking from your time in All-Ireland, the way you come into the scene as well. But I'll come back to that when we wrap up the game. Jason, the scenes there yesterday, the atmosphere, you know, as I said, I've seen a hell of a lot there. It was just sensational being there. You know, it's the game started almost to script, as Patrick was saying. They had that that settling time where Kerry looked like, as a lot of people thought, we're going to maybe control the game 1-4, they a point up, and you felt a bit for Mayo. But from them on, they really bossed the game. The energy that they brought to it, Jason, it was such a performance. Well, there was no baggage. They just went after the game.
Yeah, absolutely. They went at it hammering tongs. Like, and it looked kind of ominous when Clifford got the goal. You know, after 15 minutes, like just that telepathic move when Shawnee Boucher played him through and they unlocked the defence, and you're thinking, oh, here we go. This could be another long day for Mayo, but they just totally, they didn't let it rattle them. It didn't bother them once. And even though Mayo kept kicking balls short, they only had one wide in the first half, and I think they had 5 shots short, but it didn't rattle them at all. I think they had 7 wides in the second half, but they just kept going and just kept going. And the work rate and the intensity and the tackle and in the press and everything, you think this has to run out of gas, but it didn't run out of gas at all. And it could have been a lot worse for Kerry if they had their shooting boots on. Jordan Flynn hit the bar with a goal chance. He just the way the hop came in, it just went a wee bit off target for him. But like the scenes were just outrageous. Like, you know, I've been in this job 10 years. I've been in every All Ireland hurling football, and when the hooter went, like normally when the final whistle goes or the hooter goes in a game, you look around the press box, and in the online age we're in now, everyone's got the head down and the sparks coming out of the laptop. But every single person in the press box was standing up and just taking it in. And like the crowd kind of, there's seats around the press box above the supporters, like, and the amount of people that were just in floods of tears, grown men, like the emotion was just completely off the charts. Like, it was very hard to describe. Like, and I know you were there, Brendan, and you got to enjoy it from a pitch side point of view from a lot of it as well. It was just so, so special. And like, as Patrick mentioned there, some of the older soldiers who didn't get game time, you know, like Aidan O'Shea, Killian O'Connor didn't make the 26, and like he had a big setback with his shoulder through the whole thing. I was actually talking to him this morning and he was floating, you know. Rob Henley there, that came back in this year and lost his place to his clubmate, Jack Livingston, who'd been playing as an outfield player. There's so many wee side narratives, and like Ryan O'Donoghue, what a performance from him. You know, the two young fellas either side of him, you know, Kobe didn't have his best day yesterday, but like Darryl,
it doesn't seem that he can not do well in the game, Jason. Like, it just, the fans love him that much that he just seems like something's going to happen for him, and he probably could have had a goal at the very end of it. But yeah, I mean, unreal. Patrick, they going into this game now, the way Kerry were being put on as favourites, and I was saying before the game there, if Mayo were playing Dublin or they were playing Tyrone, you would have given them a fair shot, and either of them teams could have beaten Kerry. But everybody was thinking Kerry are moving up the gears, Patrick, because that was what the assumption was going into the final, and they would have too much in Mayo and the baggage would start to come back. That's what a lot of people thought. So it was amazing work by Andy Moore to completely have that focus, you know, very like yourselves in 2012, really looked like a team wasn't going to be beat.
Yeah, I suppose there was a lot of similarities with the way Kerry were operating this last year. They were just getting through the year, and then once they got to Croke Park, they were, you know, from quarterfinal, semi-final, and final, they were getting better performances as the year went on. It just didn't happen for them. Mayo brought an intensity that they couldn't really live with. As you said, bar the first 10 minutes and maybe a 10-minute period in the second half, you know, in my opinion, over the two Clippers, that could have been a heavy defeat for Kerry. I felt them two boys kind of kept Kerry going. You know, the tactical side of it, I thought kick one, and you know, the high press then whenever Mayo did get, you know, turn around the field, or Kerry did get the you know, it was unbelievable. I think there was a turnover there from Ryan O'Donoghue in the first half. Kobe was alone as well. That kind of set the tone, and it was a win the game. It was a massive momentum. So
see that
Kerry
momentum,
just didn't get
Patrick,
going. They
see that momentum, Patrick. That it was so huge in the day, and I haven't seen, because it was a final, and it obviously was, there was more Mayo support there. But every turnover, every score, just seemed to matter so much more to them, you know. And you know yourself, when a crowd is behind you like that, there, so it gave them such a lift, you know. And you couldn't see that at the Kerry side. So every time Mayo won a kick out or a turnover, or obviously kicked a score, the lift was going through the crowd into the players, huge.
Yeah, listen, there's loads of times we played against Mayo. They are kind of themselves and Armagh. Whenever you did play against those two teams, they're massive. They're teams that, you know, thrive off momentum. And it was likewise yesterday. And I think, were they 7-8 at one stage? You know, I did fear for them at that stage. But, you know, Ryan O'Donoghue kicked a massive score, a two-pointer. Jack Coyne kicked a massive two-pointer. They were massive scores that kept Mayo in the game in that particular period. And as I said, that one turnover from Ryan O'Donoghue and Comey in the 20, and the referee brought a massive, went in 1 point down at half, kind of, but the momentum was with.
Yeah, good man. Patrick, the line's a wee bit on and out there for us. Hey, we might call you on the phone, just, would that be all right? Joe might get you on the phone there, just, is that all right, Patrick? The line's dropping out a wee bit, Joe.
What's that? Sorry, Brent.
Joe might just ring you on the phone direct. Is that all right? The internet's dropping out a wee bit there. And is that okay? He'll call you now. Good man. Thanks, Patrick. Joe will give you a call. Jason, just on that What did we see yesterday around control? That a controlled Kerry team tried to control a match in the modern rules. Was that the end of someone kind of playing like that there? It reminded you a lot of an Ulster team, really, in terms of sitting and trying to control the game. But against Mayo and the energy that they brought, it seemed like it was the complete opposite of what needed to be done.
Yeah, it did not work anyway, Brendan, that's for sure. They were going with kind of a zonal defensive setup, kind of just inside the arc as well, maybe to try and nullify the two-point threat. And, you know, Mayo's shooting accuracy wasn't there yesterday, and as Patrick made the point rightly, you know, it could have been a lot worse for Kerry. But, you know, Patrick mentioned as well the two Cliffords, David and Paddy, were the only two men that kind of stood up. Now, I thought Sean O'Shea was great in the first half, but I think his injuries and just lack of match sharpness caught up with him after that. He looked totally gassed after that. But, like, you go to the two Kerry cornerbacks, Paul Murphy and Dylan Casey, they couldn't cope with the pace in Mayo's attack and that relentlessness kind of in the press and in the tackle and the ferociousness and hunger to get the ball. They couldn't cope with it at all. Jason Foley, Gavin White, Mike Breen, Graham O'Sullivan. You're talking about players who had massive days in the All-Ireland final a year ago against Donegal. None of those boys seemed to turn up. Joe Connor as well really struggled to get into the game. Dylan Ganey, who'd been electric up until this final, well, maybe not up until this final, but for the most part of Kerry's championship, he didn't turn up either. Now, he did get a bad enough bang in the first half and he was taken off, in fairness to him. But it all just seemed to catch up on him as well. And, you know, everyone was making very valid points in the lead up to this game about Kerry's strength from the bench. That didn't really come off for them either. And Mayo were able to bring in the experience of Jermaine O'Connor. Tommy Conroy came into the game a bit earlier than expected, but he ended up, you know, kicking the insurance score that ended the 75 years of hurt, or fisting it over the bar, sorry, when he could have squared it for Kobe. We were talking to Kobe this morning, Brendan, actually, and what an impressive kid he is. Yes. Like 18 years of age. I actually asked him, did he know when his leaving cert results were out? And he said, I haven't a clue. he doesn't give a damn. He was nothing but all smiles there this morning, just as he was in the pitch yesterday. And, you know, we were asking him as well, should Tommy have squared it for him? And he said, no, because it could have messed it up. And then Kerry could have got up and got the two-pointer and brought it to extra time. So he was nearly relieved that ball wasn't squared to him and Conroy put it over the bar. But, you know, I'm way in a tangent now. You asked me about Kerry, but I think the knives will be out massively down there, Brendan. Like, you know, Mayo deserved their time in the spotlight at the minute. And it's such a massive story. It was such a seismic moment in Irish sport and in Irish culture that this has happened. This news has gone global. We have Joe Biden tweeting about it, Liam and Noel Gallagher, the whole shebang. It's been on the news all over the States and in Australia. But the knives will be out big time down there. It's going to be a very, very long winter for them. Mm. And Jack O'Connor and Kane O'Neill and his coaching team will have a lot of self-reflecting to do. And it'll be interesting to see how many of those older boys retire. And I think, you know, the knives are going to be out massively down there. The inquest down there is going to be savage, because they were meant to come up and get their back-to-back title and get their 40th Sam Maguire. And it didn't happen, not by a long shot. It was such an atrocious performance from them, when they thought they were going to come and just blow Mayo away. And when David Clifford slammed the net after 15 minutes, it certainly looked like that was going to happen. Yeah. But for the next 55, it was the complete opposite. It was just an incredible day.
Mm. Brilliant, brilliant. Back there, Patrick, again.
All good, boys. That Zoom doesn't work for me, boys. I'm a big teams man.
Sorry, kid. You're a team player, as the man says. Patrick, Jason, just touching there. Listen, we don't want to get anything away from Mayo. Obviously, Patrick, they were brilliant. They came and did their job, but there was a huge drop in level from Kerry. You mentioned, obviously, the lads keeping them in the game and that, Patrick. But is there a deeper question here with Kerry, Patrick? Because they've had a very funny season, the way we talked about the three championships we won at club level, all the footballs we played, they had a raft of injuries, but they looked like they were getting back. But they were certainly out on their feet late against Tyrone and against Dublin. You know, you've seen that Dublin had much more energy than them, but neither was enough to get them across the line. But that high-paced game that Mayo, there was no match. And when they went full-court press there, Patrick, it just looked like they had them locked in at times. And I talked to a couple of Kerry players after the game, and they were saying that the people weren't showing for the ball, you know, when they were getting turned over back in their full back line, that there wasn't any showing up ahead. But a lot of that was just down to the sheer will of Mayo. But what did you make of Kerry this season, Patrick, in terms of, if you're not up to the energy and the fight of it, you know you're going to be beaten. And that's what happened yesterday. And that's why Jason's saying the knives will be out, surely, in Kerry.
Well, any year in Kerry, you don't win in Ireland, the knives are going to be out and there's going to be inquests.
It's been a funny year for Kerry, to be honest. Obviously, they won the All-Ireland last year. They had a bit of a mixed bag of a National League. Obviously, Donegal gave them a good. You know, there was a big margin of defeat that day in Croke Park, and you know, they were just kind of ticking along all year, and they obviously had a lot of injuries. They went away in a training camp, and they got a lot of injuries back from that, and you know, there was question marks over the type of training they were doing. You know, when you did see them out, the boys that were injured and, you know, all-stars and the likes, they did have a serious amount of lads on the bench. But it's been a funny season for Kerry. You know, where do they go from here? Obviously, they still have a very, very good team. You know, it's going to be a long winter for them. Maybe they're a team that does need a bit of a break now. But you know, as Jason alluded to there, the knives will be out down there. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And you know, it was a very, very un-Kerry-like performance in the final. You know, usually they do step up in finals. You know, when you're on about the full court press there, you know, that's something that Mayo definitely identified. You know, I think if they were playing Donegal, just for an example, yesterday, they wouldn't have done that, because we have cornerbacks that would probably get out, you know, against that press, because they're small and nimble and they're fast. But they definitely targeted the likes of Paul Murphy there and Jason Foley yesterday. When them boys were on the ball, you could see the likes of Kobe, Dara Byrne and Ryan O'Donoghue just going straight on them. And you know, maybe there was an element, but the half back line and the midfield weren't dropping to receive the ball. But when there's that level of intensity, Mayo weren't giving the Kerry defenders their chance to put their head up. So that was a massive, massive tactical element that I saw yesterday from a Mayo point of view. But in a whole, Kerry will be very, very disappointed. You know, will Jack O'Connor stay on? I probably think that he deserves to stay on. He won All-Ireland with them last year. He got them back to a final this year. He's well within his right to say, you know, I deserve to be manager of this team, but you know, ultimately it'll be up to the players what they want. But a lot of Kerry's big players didn't stand up yesterday for them. You know, bar the two Cliffords, who else really stood up for them? Sean O'Shea had a very, very quiet game.
Yeah.
You know, Gavin White didn't perform, Thomas Sullivan didn't perform, so there's a lot of soul searching to be done amongst the players first before maybe they point the finger somewhere else.
Yeah, it's been some turnaround, Jason, from one game, from what we thought of Kerry. We were always thinking Kerry, if they won back-to-back, they could dominate a bit. That's what a lot of people were talking. Now it's like the whole thing has been thrown open. And you know, Patrick makes a very interesting point there on how they would have treated Donegal, because Mayo attempted to do that same press to us and Letterkenny. And it nearly come off a few times where they went full court, nobody let their man go. And as Patrick was saying there, only because we had a few nippy players that could drop the shoulder and open up the space, we managed to get out. But they came very close a few times to boxing Donegal on completely. And Donegal, just as Patrick was saying there, we had the players to come out with it. So they obviously were working on that all season. Bit of Paddy Talley in there, added to obviously the, you can see just the sheer positivity of Andy Moore. And you can tell that he had their mindset right. But Jason, that's a game plan that they were working to. And the Kerry game plan now, like they don't kick the ball as much as you would expect the Kerry team to do in the modern rules. And they played a very structured game. And Paddy mentioned there, you know, you're looking at Cian O'Neill. Like I was down pitch side yesterday. Cian O'Neill was kind of running the show, to be honest. There was subs in that made, and I don't think Jack even seen, and I'll be straight up, that's what I seen yesterday. He was calling the shots and that was it. But in many ways, is that a bit of a, that negative style of playing now isn't going to work anymore, and the Mayo bravery and coming after teams, that's the way football has to be played now, Jason, if you want to be ultimately successful.
Yeah, absolutely, Brendan. Like, but the counterpoint to that is, maybe not the counterpoint, is, you know, Mayo's defence was wide open. Like, you go back to the Roscommon game. That was the Roscommon game was the 26th of April. Yesterday was the 26th of July. And they went from a hiding in Castlebar against the Rossies to being All-Ireland champions yesterday. And, you know, they stuck with the press and they went away and they worked on their tactics. But they had to shore up the back massively there as well. Even in the Meath game, boys, you know, Meath should have been out the gate. You know, there was a poor call of a red card made that night in Castlebar. And that was a huge turning point for Mayo. Every All-Ireland champion has their luck along the way. And like, I was in that Mayo team hotel this morning. I was down afterwards chatting to a few of the players. They all referenced that match as their big turning point. They took massive lessons from the Roscommon game in terms of how they defend it. The Meath game was the same. Talley's handprints were all over how they shored up the defence. You know, he would have been very vocal on the line there yesterday too. Like, they took a massive risk in putting Owen McGrail and Paddy Clifford, and that paid off. They put real trust in that young fellow to go and shackle the man who, you know, has been given free rein in Croke Park in a lot of big games, and he was excellent. Now, they doubled up on Paddy when they had to, and they doubled up on David when they had to as well. And I have to say as well, boys, everyone I spoke to, and I was speaking to the man himself this morning too, Papa Durkin, every interview Andy's given since the game yesterday, and he's given plenty of them already in the last 24 hours, he's referenced Paul in every single one of them in terms of the work he'd done with the goalkeepers, both Jack Livingston and Rob Henley. You know, he was dealing with an old dog who came back to commit for the year, and he was dealing with a youngster who was playing most of his club football out the pitch. And he couldn't praise Papa enough in terms of the work he'd done with both of them in terms of their kickouts and getting them away. Now, Livingston has had bad days from the kickouts, but as a shot stopper, and he did settle big time off the tee yesterday too, and that was massive. Because in that first half, the kickouts were getting away from them a bit, but he did manage to settle, in fairness. So I was delighted for Papa when I was chatting to him this morning. He was very tired when I met him, lads, but he was a very, very happy man. So, yeah there's Donegal hands on this as well. So
he has some record,
Papa. Later, Papa Dirks.
I know, I actually just caught up with him. 2 minutes I spoke to him after the match. Here he is.
Yeah, in fairness, Joe, I could see it coming. There was a tough few turns during the year, and the lads there, they really rolled in the last 3 months, and training's been unreal and aggressive and everything you want in training. And in fairness, I could see something like this coming.
Yeah, and Paul, listen, you have the Midas touch. I was just saying to you there, they're everywhere you've went. There's been big wins, but I mean, this is beyond expectation. Kerry in here is raging hot favourites, but you could see the energy that you brought the previous games, and that once you settled in, it was a tough start, 140 a point, but then after that Mayo grew in and really owned the game from then on.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned there, the aggression on the press, you know, Kerry are good footballers, and you have that fear factor that they're going to get out of trouble quickly, but the boys didn't give them a chance. It was impressive stuff, you know.
Yeah, and just, of course, it wasn't going to be that easy, even though you were kind of cruising at one point, Paul. It came down to those last two kicks, and from David and from San Jose, two people that you'd want on the ball. But listen, fortune favoured you, but I think overall you definitely deserved the victory.
I think so, yeah. You know, there was a lot of wides today, probably from both sides. We dropped at maybe 5-6 short, so I'd say the pressure, you know, on those kicks, and you can feel the breeze here now, it's strong. So, you know, it wasn't an easy kick, and I was lucky to see them drop.
Yeah, and so, Paul, what has the next few days got in store for you?
Ah, listen, I'm looking forward to it now. We'll get down to Mayo and get my father down, so that's the next one.
Yeah, so the 3-year project, you were going to be with Andy for that?
Ah, listen, I don't know. I just said, you know, I'd go in for a year, so listen, I'm open, and I really enjoy it. I've working with Boyler, Andy, Keith and Paddy, so who knows, huh?
And listen, well, for all those Donegal folks, it's great to have your connection in there. Well done, well deserved. You're here with your couple of kids in the pitch, and having savoured that brilliance with Donegal back in 2012, here you are again, out with the wee ones. It's magic.
Ah, listen, like, you know, obviously playing's a different story, and you know, the love for Donegal never go away, but listen, we'll enjoy it.
Here you are. What do you think, your teammate Patrick? Do you have to draft him back in? That's enough of these Donegal boys out helping other teams win all Ireland's.
I actually rang him there last Sunday to wish him all the best, you know, because I would, probably anyone in that 2012 team, I'd probably keep in touch with Papa the most, you know. Mm-hmm. And I rang him last Sunday. I says, best luck, you know, and he says, you're a better man than I am. He says, if you were in with me, yo, I don't think I'd be ringing you. But he's really enjoyed it. You know, Papa's a very, very honest fella. If he has something to say, he'd say it. He was always kind of like that. Yeah. There's kind of no in between with him. And, you know, he was a fantastic goalkeeper himself. People forget how good Papa was, you know, as a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And how good he was at getting the striker getaways. So, he's done a brilliant job there with him this year. And I was chatting to Edel and the two kids there before the game, the Louth Mayo game, the semi-final. And the two wee kids that the Mayo jerseys on them. It was a bit weird seeing that. You know, we've seen him with Donegal jerseys all the time, but no, listen, fair play to Papa. It's a big commitment going up and down the road to Mayo. I know he's living in Sligo, but you know, he seems to be joining the coaching element of it.
Cool big guy, Patrick, isn't he? Patrick, just on that we just mentioned there, as bad as we're saying Kerry were in terms of their own performance and as how good Mayo were, finals are finals, and these games just weren't going to be. It wasn't going to be cruise home for Mayo. It wasn't going to happen. We just mentioned those two. I mean, David Clifford's two-pointer on the right foot was ridiculous. I mean, Patrick, we all have a weaker foot, but the kick, the way, the style that he kicked that, Patrick, that is just next level in terms of, that was an unreal. But the two-pointers at the end that would have equalised it, Patrick, that would have put a serious psychological heat on Mayo, whether they would have come through or not. But it just shows you in any game, if you hang in there, you know, you can conjure up something no matter what against you.
I know that last kick from David, he'd be the one person you'd want in the history of the game, to be honest. You know, it just seemed to be. As you say there, the point with the two-pointer with off the right foot was an unbelievable score, especially, you know, that stage of the game. But I felt Potty probably was, you know, he was Maima. Well, he was probably the best player in the field, in my opinion. He was really, really taking it to Mayo. You know, he wasn't really in it in the first half, but when Kerry went that 6 points, 7 points behind, it was Paulie that kind of took the game back to Kerry, and I felt that he was kind of taking them back into it on his own. You know, obviously David is David, and he kicked 1-6 or whatever he kicked, but I felt it was Paulie that was taking the fight to Kerry, and to Mayo, and Eamon Fitzmaurice referenced it to him. Yeah, listen, David's a generational player, but, you know, they're the strokes of luck you get. I think if Kerry were to get a draw out of it, it wouldn't have been a proper reflection of it, and Mayo probably would have felt going down back into the dressing room that they would have kicked it away, and Kerry probably would have had the experience to crack on from there. But, you know, it was Mayo's day. It was Mayo's day, and Mayo deserved to win it, you know, way before they did, in a more comprehensive margin of victory. But the people of Mayo and the players, you know, don't really care. They've had enough hardship over the last few years. If it was 1 point or 6 points, they didn't really care. So, you know, it was a massive, massive day for Mayo.
Yeah, absolutely huge. Listen, Jason, there was heroes right across the board. The performance level of Mayo, man for man, was unbelievable, you know, on the day. What does this mean now, Jason, for football in its entirety? If Kerry had a won, as you're assuming, thinking they could have went and maybe went for three in a row, what does this mean now, do you think, for football? Because, you know, it looks like, you know, there's no one out there that's infallible. I mean, from our Dublin days where they were absolutely bossing the game and no one could really get close to them, you've got to think there must be, like, eight teams who really think, nine even, that could win All Ireland next year, think, here, we could beat Mayo on a given day. Why can't that be us? The landscape has really changed in football. From, it used to be, right, at the start of the season we were on about, you know, you had Kerry, Donegal, people saying maybe Armagh, maybe Galway at the outside. Nobody's talking about Mayo anyway. Now I think everybody next year will be getting in saying, you know, why not? I mean, Tyrone are the poor league, sorry. Dublin are relegated, Monaghan are relegated. They all did well in the championship. You know, Meath would be eyeing it. So there's so many teams, I think, now that this victory will mean it could be our year next year.
Oh, 100%, Brent. Like, you know, like this season was probably possibly the best season ever, lads, in terms of the drama and the entertainment that we got, you know, between Roscommon winning Connacht, Westmeath winning Leinster, Louth's run to the All-Ireland semi-finals, some of the crazy results. Like, nearly every game was blockbuster, and I don't remember being at a bad game in a way. Like, it was just super stuff from start to finish. It's a pity it's all over, and maybe just the whole season was that bonkers. It probably did make perfect sense at the end of it that Mayo would win the All-Ireland, but in terms of next year, yeah, like, I live here just outside Athlone, and there was common side, and I'd say there's a few of my neighbours that were fairly wincing yesterday. Now I'd say a few of them put another curse on Mayo already, but the likes of the boys around here would definitely be thinking that could be us next year. There'll be a lot of counties out there with big regret and how their championships ended. Like Armagh, for example, like that shot from Sam Roy, that was such a turning point in the entire season for everybody. What would have happened if Armagh had stayed in that championship, you know?
Yeah.
Just so many little small things like that. Like, you know, there's rumours of unrest in Galway already. It'd be interesting to see if Park stays on. You know, the rumour mill was going mad there last week that he was gone. It looks like he's staying on, and, you know, there's word that he has to refresh his backroom team. You know, it'd be interesting to see what Donegal come with again next year, lads. You know, like, there'd be so many teams out there. Meath, like I mentioned, that game that they, you know, the night they went out against Mayo and Castlebar as well, they must be looking on after getting to the semi-finals last year thinking, God, how did we not stay in this? Do you know what I mean? So absolutely, like next year is as wide open as you can get. It has to be. Like Dublin's roller coaster was just outrageous too, between Gerrard's 12-week ban and losing to Westmeath, losing to Louth, and then coming back the way they did, and they asked massive questions of Kerry too, and they were robbed with a square ball goal. So there was so many fine margin moments like that that just, you know, swung it, swung so many big games, and it all just, the stars just all aligned for Mayo at the end of it. So in terms of what we see from the game next year, you know, no more than when any winning team comes through, you have the copycat thing, but like Mayo definitely showed us in these new rules at the minute, as the game continues to evolve, how to really go at someone and just relentlessly pursue the victory. You know, you have to cut your clock to measure depending on who you're facing. Like Paddy made a very good point there that they probably would have had to set up differently against Donegal, who have pacey cornerbacks to come out, more athletic players there in that full back lane in particular, and they really, really went after those aging players in that, in the cornerback positions in particular. Like Paul Murphy, you know, you nearly felt sorry for him at times when he was trying to come out with the ball there yesterday. Like he was totally out of his depth. Like, so it'll be very interesting to see what unfolds. But it'll be a long winter for a lot of counties, but it'll be some party in Mayo, and it's kicking off there tonight, going with what I saw in the hotel this morning, what we're after seeing on the news.
Yeah. I was offered a few beds last night to come down. I was thinking 10 years ago I would have maybe went for that. Now I've actually got a wee bit of sense. One night with a mad Mayo crew was enough. Patrick, just on that, I was saying at the opening of the show there, the similarities with you and Kobe. Listen, we can't forget Dara Byrne. Kobe just has this star quality, doesn't he, Patrick? That even though Byrne probably had a better game than him, there's just so much emphasis around him. Now, I know it was year two for you, Patrick, but you were still just 18 as well. What did you think watching the two boys in terms of their experience coming into this? And there's so much of them made of, you know, youth and playing with no fear and that, just the same as yourself.
Unbelievable, hey. Absolutely, they just look like two lads that are just so comfortable. You know, the occasion didn't seem to get to them. Or, all right, Kobe didn't have his best game. He was still very unlucky not to come away with maybe 1-5, 1-6 from the game. You know, Shane Murphy pulled off a brilliant save from him. You know, obviously there was a lot made of Kobe before the game. You know, his father is obviously a legend in the game, but you know. I would always see Mayo's talisman as Ryan O'Donoghue, and it was a perfect game for Ryan O'Donoghue to go in under the radar, because there was so much being made out of Kobe, and I suppose it was probably maybe a wee bit unfair on Kobe given his age profile. But you know, the calmness and the experience that they showed, and the leadership that the two boys showed. Dara Byrne's a brilliant footballer. He's a massive future ahead of him for Mayo. Obviously, Kobe's going to head away now to Australia, and good luck to him. You know, I don't think any young lad should turn that down, especially a lad as young as him and what he's just achieved. It'd be absolutely no brainer for him to head down under, and the people of Mayo and Cross and Lionel probably have to get their head around that. But I don't think you can, you know, you can begrudge a young fella, you know, turn down the opportunity for professional contract. So. Very, very impressive from those two fellas. And Mayo are a very, very young team. I would put my hand up and say that I wouldn't have known a lot of the Mayo team maybe before the semi-final. And that's me, you know, being an analyst on GA Plus on a weekly basis. But very, very impressive. The whole thing, the whole, you know, way Mayo went around their business this year. You know, from where they were at half time against me to where we are now, it's unbelievable, really, when you think about it.
And Patrick, was AFL after you at that stage?
I had two trials, two in London, the call with Essendon, but that was in the early part of 2012. I actually missed the league game with Donegal because I was in London on a trial. It didn't go down too well with Jim at the time, but that's water under the bridge. We went on to win the Ireland the following September. Well, but I thought Donegal were going to win all Ireland every year, so it's just, what's the point in leaving? But you know, that's the way it goes.
Well, we are glad you stayed. I stayed in the Antrim's Kilcare, boy. That was the place for you, Patrick. We were the beneficiaries of that. Fair play to you, kid. Fair play to you. Jason, on Donegal and going into next year, Jason, what does this mean now for us, do you think, around, you know, you're looking at these teams, and us on any given day could beat that Kerry team, could beat Mayo. You know, we showed that kind of earlier in the year. I know it was just the league and that, but is this a thing now season where, as I was saying before, about like Kerry came in very cold to the league, kind of accidentally fell in the league final. The teams that progressed actually that weren't operating at a high level in the league. So do you think next year it's a whole kind of re-look at it from Donegal that will come in and build the championship and do it that way around? Do you think that's the big lesson going into next year?
Ah, yeah, 100%, Brent. Like, as good as Donegal were in the league and in that league final in particular and the championship game in Killarney, it's all about timing. Like, it's all about timing, and you need your luck with injuries too. Like, Donegal weren't too bad with injuries this year, in fairness, but, like, you know, like, the Down game in particular was just such an early knockback, and then to rise again and produce the performance they did in Killarney and, you know, albeit with the red card for half the game, like, that was still a massive moment for this Donegal squad. And then just the disappointing nature of the exit then to Dublin. Like, we know the squad's there, lads. Patrick's only after leaving it. He knows what he's after leaving behind. He knows the talent's there. We all do. But it's all about, you know, timing it. I hope nobody else steps away. You know, there's Michael, obviously. There's still a couple of players in that kind of early 30s bracket. Ryan McHugh, Huey. I hope they all stay. It'll be great to get another couple of players back as well. You know, Niall O'Donnell, the likes of him. And, you know, I'm sure Jim will still be trawling the place as the club championship starts now next week or the week after, for more talent. And, you know, a lot of youngsters came through this year as well, and they were very, very impressive. You know, Max Campbell, Shane Malone, the Canners, you know, so many faces like that who came through, Young McCall, who all made their debuts. They'll all come on, you know. That was all a huge learning experience for all those players. And, you know, banking on top of the massive experience that we do have across the pitch. You know, we have two fantastic goalkeepers. Sean was very much on the back foot with his ankle all year as well. We have to remember that too. There was me saying that Donegal had no injury problems. Sean was a massive one. You know, he just never really got right. So, you know, if we have all guns blazing and everyone back fit and healthy and everyone back for 2027 and the timing's right, like, the big question that everyone seems to be saying to me in terms of Donegal, and I was talking to a very high profile coach last night, and he said he thinks that Jim has to shake up the backroom team and get someone in from the outside, like a Paddy Talley or someone who will challenge him, because a lot of the successful counties who've won all Irelands in recent years seem to have that. You had Kane O'Neill and Kerry, you had Talley and Mayo, Papa and Mayo even. You know,
Jason Sherlock, Ross Common, yeah. I mean, you look at it, Andy Moore himself was in with Monaghan, yeah. McAtee came in then to Monaghan. Like, there's everybody seems to have, say, a high profile coach in from somewhere. Patrick, what do you think about that? What about you? Are you going to take up a bit of coaching? You're doing well at the punditry. I'll let you finish on that there. One, McBurdy back into the McGuinness backroom team.
I have enough headaches on a day-to-day basis to be back in Convoy, lads. No harm, hey? No, coaching for me, definitely not. Hey, some of the lads there, I don't think they'd like to see me come back in, hey, with a free rein on the coaching end of things there. But talk about Papa, being honest. But listen, Donegal, I know it's probably not Jim's style. He likes to keep it Donegal. You know, our geography doesn't help us. Definitely not. We are stuck up in the northwest of the country. I can't see anyone from Derry, Tyrone, Armagh coming into the fold. It's just not something that we usually do. And I know Jim wouldn't really be in favour of that. But there probably is a need of definitely a bit of a freshening up. And you know, Donegal did look tired. You know, probably from the Down game onwards, they looked like a team that, I wouldn't say burnt out, but they looked mentally fatigued. I don't really know what happened during the league final and then the first round of Ulster, but they looked like a team that they're on their feet. Now, I know they went back training early and they were training hard, and it was probably the reason that they were so impressive in the league, is that they were miles ahead of everyone else in the league. But I think the massive learning for everyone this year is you have to be peaking at the right time. You know, if Donegal are relegated from Division 1 next year, that isn't the end of the world. I think Donegal people need to get their head around that. If you go full tilt for the league, you go full tilt for the Ulster Championship, it's very, very hard to have the gas left in the tank, especially under the new structure, to go for an All-Ireland tilt. And we did it well in 2025, but
Come the end of the year, you're very, very tired mentally, and I think that kind of transferred over to this year. They obviously went back training when they did, and they trained hard, and I think it just eventually caught up with them, to be honest. So I think the lads probably need a prolonged break. You know, every time you put on the pair of boots of training, you know, it takes it out of you, as you know, Brennan. Every warm-up you do, every time you put on the boots, it's a long season. So there's a lot of soul-searching. You know, we're talking about Kerry. They were in the Ireland final. Donegal didn't make the quarter-final this year, so there's going to be a lot of soul-searching within the lads there, and I know that the effort that did go into the whole thing there. So disappointing then for Donegal, and you know, the time has probably come where there does need to be a shake-up, both probably in the backroom team and maybe personally on the playing squad. I don't think anyone will leave, but it's about bringing through that youth now, the same as Mayo did this year, because that'll give the older lads energy as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Listen, great wrap-up, and I concur, lads. I hope everybody stays, and if they have that kind of break, they'll come back fresh next year and give it a lash again. But for now, it's Mayo's crown. Jason, Patrick, thanks so much. That was a brilliant wrap-up. I really enjoyed that.
Thanks, lads. I was the weak link in this full forward line, so thanks for having me.
You were the playmaker. Jason,
third midfielder.
No worries, hey. Patrick and Jason, thanks so much for that, dear lads. I'll catch you later, okay?
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, man.
Thanks for that.
Cheers. After the break, we're going to catch up with Marion O'Donnell. We're going to discuss the LGFA League One final. Yes, welcome back. We turn our attention now to the league final, the LGFA Division One League final. The two heavyweights of Termon and Glenfun were going at it again, but it was a game that very much went the way of Johnny McCafferty's side. A big double scores victory. It was 2-14 to 1-7. Marion O'Donnell's on the line now. Marion, how are you?
Good. What's the crack?
All good.
On after the big one.
Hey, just keeping it together here and no more.
Brilliant, doesn't it?
It was a big night. Aye? That run down from Dublin, take it out of you.
You were up at the game.
So it was a great day's crackdown. I mean, just the buzz of it, man, was unreal. So brilliant.
I think everybody in the country were supporting Mayo yesterday.
Listen, you would need a heart of stone not to feel for me, Andy Moore, and with the kids. It was beautiful to see. It looked so emotional, actually. I mean,
epic. The stuff of dreams, you see. Everybody wants to see the dreams coming true, don't they?
Yeah. The lovely picture of Geraldine McLaughlin with her wee boy in the back of the paper too, after the victory yesterday. It was a brilliant one for Termon. Were you surprised by the margin?
Do you know what? Probably are, because you never really expect a margin like that between these two teams. They've been the top teams, I suppose, in senior a championship and Division One championship or Division One league for a long time now. Like, as you know, probably over the last 10 years, they've been huge rivals, both Glenfin and Termon. And so, like, last year's final ended in a point of a difference, and it usually comes to that close a call. But yeah, yesterday, Termon just seemed to have another gear in them, you know.
Yeah. And it was close up in the finish. So was it just a bit? Was that people coming off the bench, or the game opening up, or what swung it so much in Termon's?
I suppose a number of things maybe would have factored into it yesterday. But look, I think Termon from the onset, like Glenfin got a goal very, very early, within a matter of minutes, maybe 3 minutes into the game. And look, Termon could have put their head down easily at that stage of the game. You know yourself, when you give away a goal early on in a game, the opportunity for heads to drop and for negatives to seep in there can happen. But look, Termon went up the field then. I think maybe Glenfin got another point, but Termon went up the field then and got a goal. Geraldine McLaughlin got her first goal there. And, you know, they seemed to, that was the end of the lead for, you know, after that, Termon went to the driving seat. But look, they got a couple of points back. Glenfin got a couple of points back at the end of half time. Probably Termon should run on four, but Karen, you know, the experience that she brings to the fore, she got two very good scores and key scores for Glenfin going on at the break, and it left it only 2 points of the difference at half time. And look, you know, Glenfin, you would have said, was in it then at that stage. But look, a lot happens after when teams come out in the second half, there can be a huge shift. But look, Termon did really remain composed throughout yesterday and seemed to, you know, have a lot of the possession of the game and never seemed to panic. And I suppose the key thing for them is they didn't really give away too much possession yesterday as well. So I think that was, and Geraldine, of course, was on fire as well. So
Yeah, I mean, you got 2-10. I mean, some kicking. Mo, listen, she's just an absolute scoring machine. It's back in top dog form again. I mean, just almost unplayable. Like you would, if you would need probably 2 or 3 girls trying to shut her down.
Yeah, you know, and look, maybe that's something tactically Glenn Fund didn't really do. Like, obviously, she's been picked up by Tara Martin there, fullback. Look, she's an experienced fullback, has always played there for Glenn Fund as well. And look, sometimes you might think that Katie Hearn would go in there and maybe pick up the role, but you sacrifice a player too, and maybe they felt that, you know, Katie would be better out. She plays mostly in midfield and drives forward. She's very good going forward and attacking as well. Like, she was on there along with Katie Long. And look, they have a very experienced side as well. And they just maybe made the call not to do that and thought that maybe, you know, they would pick Geraldine up well. But you see, Geraldine as well is back and she's enjoying her football. And look, a player who's enjoying their football and who's fit and really she's enjoying playing club football. It's hard, you know, it's hard to stop somebody like that, and it's hard to stop somebody at her calibre as well, look. And look, you know, Glenn Finn were missing Yvonne yesterday, and John McCafferty, the manager, made a point after, which was a very valid point. Look, if we were missing Geraldine and Yvonne was on the field yesterday, it may have been a very different story as well, because, you know, the experience and the goal shooting ability that Yvonne brings as well, and her scoring ability up top as well, is something serious. So she was out with an ankle injury yesterday. So she's going to probably come back into the four now for Glenn Finn. And bring that experience to Championship. And I suppose, look, Brendan, we all know it's all about Championship as well, because, look, Termin would give up a league final probably and rather have a Championship one, and Glenn Finn the same. So,
Yeah, of course, Mo, the Championship's number one. But after the back of the Gaeltacht now and this very impressive final defeat, things are going really well for Johnny in his first year in there. They must be happy. I'd say they had a bit of crack about the Lagoon last night.
Aye, listen, I suppose a big day all round as well, and a lot of them would be wanting to see Mayo as one as well there yesterday. So a bit of crack, and look, they'll knuckle down. But look, that was, John's coming in from, I suppose, senior men's point of view, like, in, you know, his first maybe rodeo at ladies level. And he, to be fair to him, he's brought in a great backroom team there, and Hugh Harkin and Paddy McDade. I'll not name them all now. There's a big squad of them in there. And look, you were talking about Jim McGuinness and maybe needing more heads in there. Like anything, I think you need the experience of a couple of different people, and you need the opinions of a couple of different people in there. Somebody who, you know, can make you think a little bit more about the decisions you're making on the day. And to be fair to the boys, they're doing a great job there. And there is a lot of success, as you say, the County Gaeltacht and the All-Ireland Gaeltacht now with the back that up with the league title. And no doubt they'll be going in now for Championship. He said yesterday that the Championship was always the number one on their card. So, you know, they're going to get down to training now. But look, they've got a great panel of players there as well. Which helps as well, because they've got Nicole McLaughlin's out this year now, and Emer Gallagher is 2 big losses as well for them this year. But look, they've strengthened numbers, which is good. And listen, the majority of their team is made up with probably experience dotted throughout. There's a lot of youth in there as well. Look, when you look at some, Johnny's own daughters are playing in there as well. The 2 McCafferty's, one of them's minor, one of them's under 16. And look, they're brilliant to see those, even like the likes of Lucy McGarvey, Maureen Reedy. I could name you all those younger players that are in there. And the 2 county players, Ciara McGarvey and Jodie McFadden, very young, and Jodie's sister, Kayla, all very, very young players. And then you've got Roisin Friel, Roisin McCafferty and Geraldine McLaughlin to add. So there's experience and youth in there. So there's a great mix and a great balance in there as well. And they've got probably a bench as well, which helps. They have people to come off the bench and you know, give some game time and help the tired legs as well, Brendan. That all counts, and that'll all be used now when it comes to Championship, you know.
Yeah, and listen, Mo, you got to say they're flying it, and from Glenn Fund's perspective, they're going to take a lot of learnings from that there. As you said, that sometimes can be a good thing in terms of a harsh defeat. You know, you go back to basics and build into Championship. We're really looking forward to this Championship now, Mo, and these two teams will certainly have a big say in it. So you'll keep an eye on everything across the board there for us, Mo, and We'll
do, Brendan, we'll do. What I will say is, look, you'll never write Glenn Fun out, but look, Championship's changing every year. Termin and Glenn Fun are, you know, after a few years, they're no longer going to be the top teams, you know, because there's a lot of youthful teams coming on there. Like, you look, the likes of St Eunice played in Division 2 there this year. they're really coming to the fore. They've a lot of county players on that, and you know, they had a very good Division 2 final against Downings as well, and probably should have been a Division 1 team, but are just coming into it now, and probably tipped to be maybe one of the top four when it comes to the semi-final stages, Brendan. So look, and Dunlow's in there, a lot of good teams in there, which is good. So it is progressing and it is strengthening, and Termin and Glenfinn won't always be at the top, you know.
Yep, certainly so. Mo, listen, brilliant wrap up as ever. I will be speaking to you as the season goes on.
Indeed. Right, Brent, take care.
Thanks as ever. Brilliant chatting to you, Maureen, there. Great wrap up there of the league final. Well done to Termin. I want to thank my guests earlier, Pammy Birdie, and of course Jason Byrne, Joe Dex here for producing. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. Jimmy and Paul are out there and they're mad to get at it, so I'm going to let them on the hot seat, and I'll speak to you next week.